Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Larry Steinhaus Show.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Larry Steinhaus Show. I am Larry Steinhaus, and we are broadcasting live from the Investor Schooling headquarters right here in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And I am the CEO of Investor Schooling, and I'm here to make you enjoy financial education, make it fun, and make it accessible to everyone. All right?
Correct.
So today you can join us as we dive into the exciting world of real estate investing, stock options trading, and a treasure trove of financial wisdom. Hey, you can call us anytime during the show at
855-939-1137.
That number again?
855-939-1137.
One more time.
That's 855-939-1137.
And you can call that number with your questions about money, finances, or anything on your mind, even politics. We might go into politics today a little bit. By the way, we're not just on the air. We're live on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube. Hey, drop us a comment if you're watching us on the air and say hello. I'm also here with my awesome co-host, Dr. Debbie Anderson. And, of course, I'm here with the immigrant, Amri Murad. Hey, at Investor Schooling, we focus on practical learning. We equip you with real-world skills and
It's because I got you that bagel this morning.
Is writing your intro.
I know. I got to do it one more time. Ready? At Investor Schooling, we focus on practical learning. We will equip you with real-world skills in real estate investing, stock options, tax-saving tips, and the secrets of financial freedom. You're right. This is because it's AI.
I know.
I can't. I'm having trouble reading it. But I'm also, you know what I'm really having trouble with, believe it or not?
Mm-hmm.
I can't see the whether it's a period or a comma because my eyesight's getting worse.
It's according to the mood.
According to my mood? My eyesight gets worse with my mood?
No. I'm sorry.
No, I think that's with beer, sorry.
I'm so confused. I'm so confused.
She got me. That's the important thing. She got me. That's the only time it goes.
My father told me if I kept doing it, I'd go blind, so I only did it until I had to wear glasses. Is that what you mean?
No.
No.
Oh. No.
She got me. Never mind. All right, I missed a joke. It's just terrible. I can't believe I missed a joke. I'm so upset.
Look for the period and the comma.
I'm afraid that I just got it. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway.
And we just started.
For all you people who are listening, for the seven people who have not gone to the shore. Oh, we're not sleeping at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
And, maybe sitting in their car and flicking through the stations. Yes, believe it or not, this is a live financial show, right?
Yes.
We actually talk about finances on this show. We talk about how to make more money. We talk about how to do more with your life. But, you know, since nobody listens to the show because we're at 2 o'clock, we just have a lot of fun and we figure that maybe somebody will be entertained and call us. And they could call us at what number, Amri?
855-939-1137.
That wasn't the sexy voice at all.
I can do it again if you want.
I'm just saying it wasn't the sexy voice.
That's 855.
There you go.
939-1137.
There you go.
All right, cool.
See, if I had buttons, I'd have button them now.
Oh my God, with the buttons all the time.
I think we've gone out of control, Brian. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, if somebody's hearing...
off the rails, we're 2 minutes in.
Yeah, if somebody's hearing, okay, they made me take my shirt when I say the number. Help. Help.
So we were doing photography work and video work today. And Amri decided to take his shirt off to change shirts.
Amri
and he takes his shirt off, he's changing shirts, and he's putting on a shirt. And we just said, you have to say the phone number while you put the shirt on. And it was the funniest thing. So we recorded it. So if you're on Facebook and you saw it on my page, you probably thought that was very funny. So yeah. For you guys who, again, if you've never listened to this show, or if you're listening to it for the first time, or if we actually woke you up from your midday nap, I still can't believe that they keep us on at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I know.
We're the best show on Saturday, and they keep us on at 2
and
o'clock.
Listen for us, okay, because the next show will make you asleep again. So listen to us.
The next show won't even put you to sleep. It'll actually give you bad advice.
Let's clarify that it's not the next show. It's the show after this one.
No, it's the next show. It's the show after ours.
I know, but when you say the next show, I'm thinking our next show.
Oh, no, okay, yeah.
So show, that's what I'm saying. It's not the next show.
When
it's
this
the show
ends,
after.
There's a show after this one.
That's what you mean.
Right, that, you know, that's not supposed to be there.
This was a grammar point with Debbie Anderson.
And
yes, grammar.
Yes, grammar is a big thing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, can we talk about something financial?
Please.
What?
Please.
You know what's amazing? I actually going to go off the rails for a minute, too.
Okay.
Trump being convicted of all 34 counts.
Okay.
Now, the really interesting part about that, and we do a little bit of, we get into a little bit of politics. You guys know I'm a big Trump fan. You know, I have my jacket signed. I have my American flag jacket that was signed by Trump. Mm-hmm. I've got a letter from Trump. I, of course, contribute to Trump all the time. But what was really interesting was, that afternoon, or right after the conviction was read by the jury, he raised almost $35 million almost immediately after that was, and one-third of those contributors never contributed to a financial campaign, to a political campaign in their entire life before.
Just for the campaign.
Just because they're listening and they're seeing how America is being trashed. Isn't that amazing?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
So, I know you are a big Trump fan. I am. It's not that I have anything against him or something. I'm not a big Trump fan. I am very much afraid that this party will be destroyed.
The Republican Party.
Exactly. And I'm very much afraid that...
By Trump or by...
In general. I'm afraid that because it became him, the party became him, it make people be afraid or get people be less Republican. You get it? Because it's like...
You mean so...
He is the Republican Party himself.
I don't agree with that.
No?
He's his own party.
Yeah.
Which really is true, but he has to raise the flag of the Republican Party. So literally, I mean, he will become president. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to become president at this point. But whatever it is, yes, no, doesn't matter. At 4 years from now, he can't run again. Well, he can only run again if he doesn't win this time, but he can't run again. So now we're going to have the original or what's left of the Republican Party coming in, and you're right. Unless he picks the right vice president, it's not going to, you're absolutely right, the Republican Party will be gone. So I have a feeling it's going to be Vivek Ramaswamy. That's my feeling. Because he's the only one who's crazy enough to be just like Trump 4 years from now. But that's it. So he can't pick Ron DeSantis. DeSantis, you know, after all the things you said about DeSantis, he just can't.
The thing that worries me
But then again, Trump could do anything he wants.
4 more years with Biden. 4 more years with a Democrat party controlling this country. That's the thing that worries me the most.
So you come from Israel, right?
Yeah.
Now, how is the politics in Israel?
Right now, it's
a complete mess.
Yeah, complete mess right now.
Yeah, I mean, Netanyahu was voted out, and then...
He didn't vote it out. He just... So if you compare it to what's going on here, he is the most righty. That's how he presents himself.
Right.
He's the most righty. But because he is right now controlling this country for, 15 years? He's the head of this country. I think beside 2 years, he is the head of this country for 15 years. And during these 50 years, Hamas became... so strong.
Oh, so you think it's his fault that they became so strong?
No, I don't.
That's interesting. I never heard that before.
But exactly like Trump, he's the party.
Yeah, right.
Exactly like Trump, right. He's the party.
But he was out. He was no longer in charge of Israel and came back. Somebody resigned and they put him back in, which is amazing to me.
So what's going on there is that there are many people that go behind him and don't ask questions. Because he is the Messiah. He is the king. He knows better than everybody. He knows. He
and
knows.
And you're being sarcastic, and, just in case anybody, right?
What?
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
No, okay.
There are people that that's what they believe. And they will vote for him anyway. And here you see, too, there are people that their fathers were Republican and their grandfather were Republican. They will always be Republican. And you don't... You ask yourself, when it gets to a generation that we will start to ask questions and say, what am I voting for? Am I voting to what my parents are voting for? Am I voting for what I saw in my house? Or am I going to read in a website of a party or what they present or how are they going to offer me something that appeal to me? And that way I will say, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I will do something that I chose for myself and not that I saw others do and I just copy them and follow them. With everything that's going on in Israel right now, okay, there are still millions that will vote for Netanyahu. Now, I'm not saying if October 7 because of him or not because of him, but he was there when it happened. You must ask yourself, is it okay that the person that controlled this country in the biggest catastrophe since, I think, the Yom Kippur War, right? Yeah. And even in the Yom Kippur War, not so many civilians were killed. It was mainly soldiers. So the guy that was the head of this country when the biggest tragedy happened, should he still be controlling this country? And I'm not sure I have the answers.
Well, and just for you guys listening, I let him go because that was the most insightful thing I've ever heard Omri talk about.
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting, wasn't it, Dab?
It was interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So, all right, so part of why I wanted to bring this up is because, you know, a lot of financial issues are on the table here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's blaming Biden for the incredible inflation, and it's partly true. Now, do I think that we would have had incredible inflation if Biden wasn't in office? We would have had some inflation. There's no doubt in my mind. Because the Feds, you know, needed to raise interest rates long before they did. I mean, I had been posting while Trump was president, it's time to raise interest rates. So we know that that's part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The other, of course, the biggest thing that Biden did was the oil price, the gas prices were a big problem because he basically shut us down. And we would have been self-sufficient country selling our oil instead of buying our oil.
Why did they? What's the reason?
Why?
Yes, I'm really curious.
So, for some reason, the Democrat and Liberal Party believes that clean air and green, this whole green movement is reality. And so, it's not reality.
So it's because of the accident in the Gulf of Mexico?
No. It's because they want more Teslas.
Okay.
They want people to drive electric cars because they think that electric cars are going to save the planet when they're not.
But they are not building more nuclear power plants.
Which doesn't make any sense either.
So you need more electric,
I know,
right?
I know.
How will you make more electric?
Right.
You need to burn. The cleanest thing you can burn is natural gas, right?
I went last week. The reason we had a repeat show, last week I was at the Indy 500 race.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun, by the way. But while I was at the Indy 500 race, they had what was called... Renewable fuel is what they were racing the cars on. Renewable fuel.
Yeah.
And I laughed. The first thing I made a joke was, how do you renew fuel that you've already used, you know? I mean, you take the exhaust pipe and put it back into the...
That's
not what they meant. What they were basically saying was they're making fuel out of plants.
Yeah.
So the really weird part is, you know, people think it's fossil fuels. They think it's from dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So do you know where... You know that oil does not come from dinosaurs? Did you know that?
Yeah, of course.
Right.
It was there while the dinosaurs were...
Right, everybody thinks that, right?
They were still there.
Right. So now they've got plants, which is what gas is from. It's just plants in the ground that are like buried, I don't know, miles into the ground, whatever, however far it is into the ground. And those just turn into a slippery slime, which is the oil we use. And now they're using plants above ground. They're saying that that's renewable and that's better. I don't know if it is or it isn't. But the whole point is they're coming up with fuel that's less does less damage to the environment. So let them do it.
It's Cars 2 by Disney.
What?
You saw Cars 2 by Disney, the movie? No, your kids are grown. I have small kids. Cars 2 by Disney.
Oh, Cars 2, yeah.
The story there is that somebody invented an alternative fuel that is going to demolish the current fuel that we all use, right? And it became a disaster.
Oh, okay.
Blue engines and all that. Now, it's a spoiler,
it's supposed to be
don't listen for a second if you want to see the movie. And what happened is, because it was such a problem, everybody went back to the regular fuel. This guy who invented the alternative fuel owned the biggest fuel plants in the world.
Right. So that's actually happened. And
he did it intentionally.
I never saw the cars too, but
yeah,
that's actually a story of what actually happened in the 70s. But I don't want to get into that right now.
Okay.
Because we're all over the place and we're supposed to be talking about finances. Okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring it up because Trump will affect the finances of this country if he becomes elected. It'll be much better. Now, the only problem is we're heading for a recession. I don't care who the president is.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they may have delayed the recession long enough that Trump becomes president. And then the recession comes while Trump is president, and guess what? Yeah. It's all his fault.
Exactly.
And that's a nightmare because all they did, the only reason that we're not in a recession right now, I mean a real recession, not the mild one, the only reason we're not in a real recession now is because when COVID happened, they gave all those people those EIDL loans. And they gave all these people these money from the government, and they did what they did again in 2001 with 9/11. 9/11, in 2001, we were heading for a recession. We were heading for it. And then, I don't know if you know, but the growth from 2001 to 2006 was incredible.
Yeah.
Where we should have been in a recession. Why did it happen?
We saw exactly.
No, because 9/11, the government started flooding all the businesses and mortgages and blah, 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 blah. And they started, to make sure we didn't have a recession because of 9/11.
Recover the economy somehow.
Unfortunately, they prevented the recession that was supposed to happen. So guess what's coming?
A big one.
2008 is coming. 2008 is coming.
It's not 2008. Let's explain it. You can't go to a bank and get a mortgage by showing your ID anymore. Things are more complicated.
They're different now.
Yeah, they are different. The thing is that, yes, we will be in a point, I believe, that many people won't be able to pay their mortgages.
Maybe.
I'm afraid that's exactly what's going to happen very soon.
All right. We took 20 minutes of the show. We talked about a bunch of different stuff. None of it was really what we normally talk about. But we do have a caller who's been online for a little while, and I want to get to him. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, Larry. How are you guys all doing today? All right?
Hey, good, man. Thanks. I appreciate you hanging in there.
Good.
I recognize the voice.
Hey, no problem. The first thing, I called about something else, but the problem with renewable energy and the green movement is it's just not cost effective.
Of course not.
You know?
But that's what makes it so good. That's why Democrats do it, because they make money on the stocks for the green
the idea.
Green energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, the reason for my call, I'm going to inherit a property from my mother, and I want to put it in a trust, but I also want to keep the present mortgage in place. Is that possible?
That's a piece of cake. But is she still living?
No, she's deceased. So
okay.
I know it has to go through probate.
Yeah, that made it a little more complicated, yeah. Actually. is the mortgage current?
Yeah, it's all current. I've been paying it for 17 years. Nothing has changed.
So this is what I would do. I would just move it into a trust and not say anything. So mm-hmm. Here's the problem. We talk about this all the time. We talk about buying properties subject to the original mortgage. And in this case, right. That's sort of what you're doing. The problem with buying property subject to the original mortgage, when the person who owns the property is deceased, a lot of title companies find that as a possible liability. So they may not do it. So you need to find a title company who, they're kind of like, all right, look, you know what? We trust you. We'll do it. Don't sue us. And maybe it'll be fine. But there's nothing illegal about what you're doing at all. It's just that the title companies have a little bit of a problem with it because they can't have, they don't have the original person signing off, the deceased person signing off on it, where you are the executor. I assume you're the executor, right?
No, that's another thing. I'm not. My niece is.
So who is the executor?
My niece is.
And she's okay with you taking over the property?
Yeah, she's fine with it. Everybody's fine with it. They just want to make sure that it's legal and then...
Here's the thing. It's not illegal. Just to be clear, it's not illegal. But the mortgage company might call a loan. But so what? You know what? Do it anyway and move forward.
So if he will keep paying the mortgage and the house will stay on her name, okay, there's a good chance.
He could do that.
Yeah, exactly.
He could do that. So what I'm saying is just leave it alone. Just pretend nothing happened.
Exactly.
And keep going forward. The only problem is eventually he's going to want to sell that house. And every year he delays that, it gets harder and harder for him to get the right signatures he's going to need. Because what if the niece passes away? What if the niece moves to another country? He can't get her signature. So that's why he won't do it as soon as possible.
He won't be able to move it to a trust and put himself as a beneficiary.
Or he won't be able to sell the property to somebody else at all.
No, no, I get that.
I also know that if you inherit a property from your parents, they cannot use that due on sale clause. And that's from the St. Germain Act of 1982.
Here's the thing. The reality is they're not going to. Just do it. You might have to go through a couple of title companies before they do it, but that's fine.
Yeah. No, I have somebody who'll do it. That's no problem. Okay, I have a title company.
It should be fine.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Thanks.
You got it, man.
Yeah, I think so, too. Thanks, bud. Bye.
See you, man. So, Dr. Deb, what is going on in your world?
Monroe is coming along. I just was there yesterday.
Yeah, for you guys who don't know what the story is about this, this is a property Debbie bought 2 years ago, and she's pretty much gone through everything.
Just about everything that can go wrong.
But it's done.
It's really close to being done. There's
99%, right?
Yeah, it's like there's some final touches that they need to do.
We have three tenants out of the four units. Tenants.
Can she finish the story first?
Yes, she can.
Are you sure, Omri, you don't want to tell my story for me?
Yeah, if you want to, we can make it the Omri show.
We can
call it the Immigrant Show.
The Immigrant Show is good.
Okay. Anyway, Dad, get back to what you're saying.
It looks like we hopefully will be having water within the next 2 weeks is the goal. Hopefully that'll happen. I have no idea, but they have been replacing the water line down the street, and they have been using my property because I have that extra lot right next there. Everybody's been parking all their big materials and all their whatever stuff
there.
Did
you give them permission?
I did not.
Really?
I did not give them permission to do it, but I believe the contractor did, our contractor did. Okay. And at the end of the day, do I really care?
No, you do care. I'll tell you why. Because you should have some leverage.
Because
you're having trouble getting water turned on in that property, and if they're going to give you a hard time, say, you know what, take your trucks and put them somewhere else.
But that's not the water company. I think there is a good chance this is a contractor working for the water company.
I don't care.
Yeah.
They don't have permission to park in her lot.
I agree.
That's no trespassing. Yeah. And what if they do something? What if a truck has an oil leak in her lot? What if a truck breaks down in her lot? What if they're moving a truck and they hit the building? I mean, you know, all of that's a problem for me.
Yeah, agreed.
I just think you should have leverage. You say, hey, by the way, your people are parking in my. You know what you do? Call American Water on Monday, and you say, listen, I've just found out that your contractor is parking in my lot. He needs to remove his car. If my water isn't turned on in 24 hours, I want all those cars out of there, and they no longer have permission to park in my lot.
Yeah, you need to clear half a day on Monday in order to call American Water. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the problem.
I have to go back up to Monroe anyway.
Oh, on Monday, yeah. Go to your property and say, whose trucks are these? Just say, whose trucks are these? Who gave you permission to park here? And then have fun with that.
All right.
And film it.
And film it.
Right. Don't be a Karen about it. But be like, you know, who gave you permission? I want to know who gave you permission. I want the trucks off of here in 24 hours if my water's not turned on.
So I will bring you a fence and start to build a fence around the
truck. There is a fence.
There's the fence, sir.
She could close it.
Exactly. Close the fence.
Yeah, close the fence. Put a lock on it.
Exactly.
There actually is. I had to put a fence out there because people were dumping their garbage there, and I actually had to get a fence out there, and I had to put chains on it and get it all locked up. That's why the fence is there, actually. So
we are in the same position in Florida right now.
So anyway, back to my story.
Yes.
It's almost done. Look at that look, Omri gives me. It's almost done. So I was there yesterday, and I had some interest, which is fantastic. For a while, I wasn't getting any interest, and I had to bring the price down a little bit more than I would have liked. But I have been getting some in the last 3 or 4 days. I've been getting a lot of responses on Zillow, and I've been getting a lot of responses on Facebook Marketplace. And I went Monday, and I got, so far I have 2 deposits. There's 4 places, so I have 2 deposits on 2 of them. Another one hopefully will be coming in the next couple of days, but you know, so now we have to rent the other 2 places. So I think the one set of people, they are actually in an Airbnb, and they asked if they can move in June
20th.
And they said, as long as the water's on, you know, then it's not a problem because, you know, I can't have them move in without water. And our contractor should be getting the UNO as soon as we have water. Everything else should be able to be finalized. So that's the biggest
Very
thing.
Very cool.
There.
So that's the other problem that we found out in Wilkes-Barre. You can't fill up the application for Section 8 without attaching the UNO to the application.
Yeah, you can't get a UNO because you have no water.
Exactly. So this is a bit of a problem, but we hope everything will be solved very fast.
Yeah, hopefully it'll hopefully it'll be done soon.
Was just when you thought all the possible problems could be over, that one comes up. It's amazing. you want to say hello to some of the people online watching?
We have James. Hello. Hey, James. How you doing? And he wants to know about Amazon, it looks like. And then, hey, Kimmy. How you doing, Kimmy? And then James again saying hi to Kimmy. So it's all good.
Yeah, so James is saying hi to Kimmy, and Kimmy's saying hi to James.
Yeah.
And they're not saying hi to us.
At all. Yeah. No, Kimmy said. Kimmy said hi
Kimmy
to us.
Kimmy said hi to us. Of course.
Yeah, they did say hi to us. I'm sorry. I missed it.
Yeah.
And nobody else is saying hi to us.
They don't like
You know why, right?
Everybody's down the shore.
Because it's 2 o'clock on a Saturday and the weather's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, you know, I bet you if we played dead air, if we just stopped talking, we'd have as many listeners in dead air as we would have with us.
Okay, let's try.
So Rob Marish says hi. Hey, Rob, how you doing? Rob was funny. He was here, I don't know, 6 months ago, and he did a whole video thing. He was doing the video thing for a while here. Remember?
Yeah, sure.
And we were joking around with Rob because he always says he likes to play pranks on his friends when they go out to dinner. So Rob, if you can call in, you should call in. But I remember him saying how he'll take somebody's phone. And he'll jerk around, like, say he has a husband and wife are going out to dinner and he'll go out with them. He'll call them and it'll be like for sex only or something. It'll have on his phone. He'll take somebody's phone and change the number. You don't know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Rob jokes around and does that to get like the spouse in trouble and to start a fight in his family.
So I put a name called Blondie in your phone.
Yeah, he does it just for fun.
With my phone number.
Yeah.
And when I call you,
Linda
your phone
sees Blondie,
is next to
and
Linda,
she's like, "What the heck is
she
this?"
She said, "Blondie, who is Blondie?"
Yeah.
And once again, we are a financial show.
We are.
It was funny because it was like a whole big 10 minutes.
Rob said he's at the Pride event. He can't call.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's probably filming it. I wouldn't be surprised.
And right. Then Tessa says hello.
Says hi too.
Hey, he's at the Pride event. What is a Pride event?
Do we have to go there?
Oh, jeez.
Do you really not know what a Pride event is? Are you serious or are you kidding?
Pride, like gay, lesbian, things like that?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because now that word is only allowed to be used by the Alphabet Soup Gang.
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Whenever you use the word Pride, what do you think of?
That's where I'm coming from. I was thinking about something else, and then it appeared to me because you both gave me the look. Pride is not only gay and lesbian.
Yeah,
and
now trans.
No, it's not.
Okay, well, I'm glad it's not. But every time I talk to somebody, you know, they use the word pride. All I think about is alphabet soup.
No, so when a student go to the stage in investor schooling with a big check, okay, with a big number on it. This is pride.
I agree.
And it doesn't mean that he love
and they actually
work
for it. They didn't just put on a pink shirt.
You know what?
Let's do commercials, maybe.
This is the show that we got a half an hour left. We should probably let's go to commercial. When we come back, we'll just talk about finances. All right?
Sure, we'll try at least
because I'm like you know we're like so far gone.
I know. Today
we probably need a break.
it's not the normal show here.
So Rob says Larry has been proud with me many times after a few drinks. So with that, we'll go to a commercial and we'll see you in a minute.
This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Do you know when the best time to buy investment properties is? It's now. It's always now. You just need to learn how to buy them correctly. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night and learn how to buy investment properties and make money every time. That's right. That's what we teach. We teach how to buy investment properties and make money every time. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now. Take a class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Are you ready for retirement? Have you prepared everything you need? Well, in Investor Schooling, we will teach you ways to better prepare for your retirement using real estate and the stock market. But you need to learn how to do it right. And that's what we teach. At Investor Schooling, we sell nothing but education. Come to Investor Schooling and learn how to have a better retirement. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and RSVP right now for this Thursday's class at 7 o'clock. Go to InvestorSchooling.com. That's InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Are you tired of hearing about the recession that's coming? Are you prepared for it? Well, listen, at InvestorSchooling.com, we're going to teach you ways to prepare for the recession that you didn't even know existed. We're going to teach you strategies on how to use real estate. We're going to teach you strategies how to use the stock market properly. That's right, you can even make money in the stock market when the stock market goes down. Hey, go to InvestorSchooling.com and register for a free class this Thursday night, and you will learn all of these techniques. Go to InvestorSchooling.com right now, RSVP for this Thursday. We'll see you there. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Don't go through life ignorant about how to become a millionaire. Learn how to invest in real estate, the stock market, precious metals, and learn from an expert. At Investor Schooling, we teach these things and more. We only provide education, and we will teach you how to leverage real estate, how to leverage the stock market, and how to leverage precious metals to make more money than you've ever made before. Go to InvestorSchooling.com and take a complimentary class this Thursday. We will see you there. InvestorSchooling.com. That's InvestorSchooling.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Larry Steinhaus Show. I'm here with Dr. Deb Anderson, the amazing Dr. Deb Anderson. I'm here with the immigrant, Ami Murad.
No amazing immigrant.
And we're only allowed to talk about finances from this point of the show on,
sure,
because we went off the rails last half hour. I don't even know, I don't even know what we talked about.
We had politics.
We kind of made no points, except you did a whole thing about Israel that was pretty cool.
We had pride.
So let's talk real quick. So Let's pick a topic that we think will be very interesting for the three people who are still listening.
So, if it's okay, I want to talk about real estate prices.
About what?
Real estate prices.
Real estate prices, sure. Okay, that's a great one.
We were there, and we tried to predict what will be there and what's going to go on. And we should have been in a point by now that not every sale is a bidding war.
It's not.
And I have no idea what's going on. We tried to put an offer on a house this week. At the end of the we didn't get the house. We need to put it on the table. We didn't get the house. I didn't get the house. And then the realtor said, no, I actually have another house in the next street, which was extremely overpriced,
right,
while the other
to start with, the house that we saw, the first house we saw, was listed for $99,000, and there's no doubt in my mind that house was underpriced.
Yeah, it's not underpriced, so, because there's a lot of work to do there.
Right.
But after everything, and if you increase the rent or change a tenant, you can make good there.
Right.
On the other side, she had another house on the next street that was, to me, extremely overpriced.
Yeah.
So
it is what it is.
What's going on?
So what's going on in this world right now is nobody knows what's going on. So it's no longer a seller's market, but the sellers don't know it yet. And the buyers aren't sure yet.
Okay.
So we are on the swing. The swing is swinging back to a buyer's market. The sellers just don't know it yet. So the sellers are still pricing houses, ridiculous prices.
Yeah.
That's why you're going to see a lot of price decreases coming up.
I know. We see them. The price cuts. Yeah,
absolutely.
We do.
I mean, look at Ruskin. Ruskin, everything we see now has a price cut.
Mm-hmm.
So Ruskin, Florida, where we have the mobile home park, everything has a price cut. So the houses are starting to go down. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that on the way to the office this morning. I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe I'll sell everything. But I think that every 6 months, so it really doesn't matter.
My biggest concern is I'm really worried about the price of Monroe, that it's going to come down. Because for what I have into it and what it's worth, that's a really big concern for me.
But as a rental, why it will concern you? As long as your rent will cover expenses,
covers your pay,
you're good.
Rent,
I know, but at some point I need to refinance and pay out my private lender.
That's okay.
So,
you'll face that when it happens. So, and that's a big problem right now is that a lot of people are using, and we talk about this too, a lot of people are using what's called the BRRRR method, right?
Yeah.
They buy the property, they rehab it.
They rent
it, then they refinance it. And
yes,
I've been saying this for years, that people are going to get burnt in the BRRRR method.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be able to refinance it. So they get the money from hard money lenders, and the hard money lenders are charging 14-15%, and now they have to refinance it, but the property's not worth what they thought it was going to be worth, or the property value's even gone down, and they can't get out of their loan.
With all kind of new, I'm sorry, stupid methods. We were in the real estate exhibit in King of Prussia, and a guy came to us and explained how he buy a house, and he is borrowing money, not against the property, for a very short term. You remember this guy? He's getting money, not against the property, in high percentage, like I don't know, what he said, 15, 17%?
I'm not sure.
And then after 3 months, he need to give it back. But it's not against the property. There is no lien against the property for the money.
Like a private, like a personal loan?
It's transactional loan. I don't know what's going on there.
Transactional loan is a little bit different. Okay, so you're kind of mixing a couple of things up. So a transactional loan is something where, let's say, for example, I need, let's give you a really good example of this. I'm selling a property.
Yeah.
And I'm buying another property. But the problem is the property I'm buying is closing before I sell the other property, maybe a week before. So I need $150,000 to cover the gap. They also call it gap funding, by the way. And I borrowed $150,000 just for 2 weeks, and I might get 1 or 2% on that $150,000 to cover the gap for the person buying the other property. That's all.
So when you do that for flippers, there is a lot of risk here.
Oh, hell of a lot of risk, yeah.
Which is completely not what we support.
So that's like that, you know, that guy, the sub two guy.
Yeah.
He talks about the Gator method.
Yeah.
And the Gator method is the same problem. The problem is that people, so if you had a property under contract, you're a beginner real estate investor.
Yeah.
You have a property under contract.
As a wholesaler.
And you need to get earnest money because you don't know how to do it without earnest money. So you need to get $5,000 earnest money to prove to the person you're buying the property from that you have money. So you come to a Gator lender who's crazy enough, I mean, I'm talking crazy, to give you that $5,000. They give you that $5,000, and then if that person doesn't close on that property, you know what happens to that $5,000? It's gone. It goes to the seller.
No.
The person who lent the money to the lender, to the person buying the property, or the lender loses their $5,000, and if the guy didn't have $5,000, how's he going to pay the $5,000 back?
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting method, and I understand the risk, but if I gave you the $5,000 to do this transaction, can I buy the house?
No.
What?
Maybe you don't even want to buy the house.
Maybe I don't. I know, but if I'm stuck and...
Do you know what the paperwork for this is?
No.
Nothing. Most of the people doing this have no paperwork at all, or they have a really cheesy promissory note. It's terrible.
No.
Wait, give me 1 second. I got a couple of people online. I want to make sure we don't lose them. So first of all, Ice Cream Gary, where you been?
Hey, Larry. Good day for ice cream, buddy. Great show. Hi, Deb.
Hey, how are you?
You like
our
show?
I got two questions real quick, Larry.
Sure.
Number one, 9 years from now, I guess it's going to be 2032, the trust fund Social Security is going to be depleted. Give me an answer after I ask you the second question.
Sure.
The second question is senior elder care. You ever hear of a person going into a CEO or the head of the elder care facility and trying to make a deal of giving them, say, $200,000 cash as opposed to paying the monthly or yearly fee, and they have full life care? Your response.
Well, to which, what's the question?
Yeah, I don't understand the question.
Oh, the question is the elder care. Elder care facility.
Well, you gave me an example of something that somebody can do. Are you asking me if I've heard of it? I'm not sure what the question is.
Okay. Say hypothetically, I'm going to a senior care.
Right.
Fill out an application, and it's X amount of dollars a year, $100,000 a year. And I say to the CEO, I say, look, I'm going to give you right now, today, $200,000 cash for lifetime care. If I live 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, as opposed to paying their whatever they pay or charge you, would they charge you monthly or yearly? That was my question.
Well, it's not a question, but I'll assume your question is, can it be done, right? Is that your question?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the story with that. If it's a private facility, the owner can do anything they want. You know, they own a facility. They could say, hey, you know, give me $200,000 and we'll take care of you for life if they want to do that. You know, there's also some public facilities. There's actually a place, there's a couple of long-term, they're not long-term nursing. They're really like live-in facilities. I know the Anne's Choice is one of them, where you actually pay a certain amount up front and you have to pay monthly rent, but you pay like the $200,000. It's like a $200,000 deposit up front. And when you pay that $200,000, when you move out or when you die, the family gets the $200,000 back. But if during your stay there, all of a sudden something happens and you can't afford to pay your rent anymore, they'll never eject you or evict you.
Okay.
They'll use up the $200,000. But even if they use up $200,000, they'll continue to keep you there. So
gotcha.
That's the rules of their place.
Thank you. Now the first question, Social Security. The trust fund, 9 years, nobody in Congress or president, they want to address it. They're afraid they won't get elected. What's your views on what's going to happen come 2020, 2032, 2033, if it goes the way
it is? I am so excited about that. You know why?
Why?
Because there's no way ever that Social Security is going to be shut off, but you know who's going to be paying for it?
You and me.
Kids.
No.
Oh, our kids.
All the next gens and the next people graduating,
our kids,
they're all going to be paying for it. I'm not going to pay for it. I don't care anymore. I'm collecting it. I don't have to pay it anymore. I'm collecting it.
Okay.
Their taxes are going to be increased. You know why their taxes are going to be increased? Because they all they all like Democrats. So all these people who voted for Democrats who ruined the Social Security Fund, and now guess what's going to happen? They're going to have to pay for it in their taxes. They go, why should I pay for old people? Well, because that's what you voted for.
You're right.
So I don't. I'm excited about it.
Okay. Okay. All right, I don't hold you up, but Debbie, everybody take care, keep up the good work, and whoever, what's his name, Ori, the gentleman?
Omri.
Okay.
You don't know his name?
855-939-1137.
Don't put it on my gravestone, okay?
Thank you. That's keep great. Up the good Thank work, you. Larry.
Thanks, Gary. Talk to you soon.
I've been hearing of people, like, when they retire, that they find, like, a hotel, and they just live in a hotel because it's cheaper for them to live in a hotel than
Who
it is to go
care
to.
Of them there?
What's that?
Who
well,
take
as
care
long
of
as they're, they can take care of themselves, like, they're self-sufficient in that way.
Yeah.
But you can go and live in a hotel where they clean your room every day, or clean your room every other day, whatever, they're switching that now to every 2 days or every 3 days now. But you can go and you can, if they have, like, a open breakfast bar, you know, because it's cheaper to live in a hotel for a month or go month to month as opposed to having a house with all the taxes and all the insurance and all. I've been hearing about it more and more. I mean, I would consider going on a cruise for a year. They have those year-long cruises.
Oh,
I mean, they don't have
God.
To do any of that stuff,
I'm
you know? You got
it.
Food, you go around the world, right. You just get on and off the cruise ship.
You can't get on and off because after a year on a cruise ship, you can't move.
What are you talking about?
The amount of food you are eating on a cruise. If I'm thinking about going on a cruise for a year.
Whatever. My point is that you don't have to worry about taxes. You don't have to worry about insurance. You don't have to worry about any of this stuff.
Nothing.
You just go and you just enjoy your life.
There are people who do it.
Yeah, and I think that's
crazy. It's not a bad idea. You sell everything you have and you buy a 3-year cruise ticket.
Yeah,
I told my daughter, when you're 18, this apartment is not going to be here. Maybe it will be here, but there will be new people. I'm not sure they will agree to host you. So she said, like, Daddy, where are you going to be? You will call me and I will tell you what port I'm going to be the next few days. But
all right,
normally, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
All right, hold on a second. Tess is in. All right, Bruce, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing? Larry, I love your show and I love, what's his name? Oi?
Oi, I'm Oi.
Oh, it's
apparently, I like chopped liver because
O-M-R-I.
Nobody loves me.
We need to do the show again that people will try to pronounce my name.
I can't even pronounce his name, but he's great. He's great.
Isn't he hysterical? But listen, Bruce, before you do anything, you have to tell Dr. Deb how cool she is because you just got jealous.
I did get get jealous. I just want people to know that I'm here also.
So start talking.
Well, Deb and Ori, you should get your show. Forget about the other guy. You know, you two should run your show. I'm joking. Don't get mad. But yeah, so, he's great. But
so what can we help you with, Bruce?
Okay, little real estate story. 1979, I was like 21 years old. Don't ask me why. I bought.
You don't know why you were 27. You don't know why you were 21 years old in 1979.
I love you, Tess. No. I'm just letting you know. I love you, Tess.
I bought three properties.
Okay.
Okay. I'm 65 now, right, in Philadelphia. Now, my two properties, I had two duplexes and one condo. The two duplexes I call grandma properties, which means I never put a dime into them.
Wow.
Okay.
You original still own them from 1979? You never put a dime into them? Is that correct?
I just sold them within 9 months. Okay. Now,
right. No, I didn't get something.
The people who bought them, okay, the last one, and it needed two new kitchens, two new bathrooms, windows, doors. It needed everything.
Yeah.
Okay? It was always rented. It was always rented. But I never had to raise the rent too high because I didn't put a dime in them.
Yeah, sure.
So now they gave me unbelievable money. Now, I know the comps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the price they gave me, I went, what? And these investors, they pick up all the settlement costs.
Wow.
So that whatever they offer you, you walk away with settlement. Not a dime less, not a dime more.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And they even pick up the transfer tax. Right? So now, my last one I sold, they never looked at the place.
Wow.
And I went, and here's how goofy I am. I know real estate, and I know, you know, I don't need a lawyer. I looked at the papers. Everything was good. Everything was on the phone. I never met the guy. At settlement, it's me, the title lady, the guy who I recognize his voice, and another guy, he's reselling it.
Yeah.
Right then.
He wholesaled it.
And like, so everything went smooth as anything. I went to my truck, and here's how, like, naive I am. I called the title lady up. I says, I'm Bruce. I just left the title. Let me ask you a question. Who pays me? She says, what do you mean? We transfer the money in your account. It's probably in there already. But you know what I'm thinking, Larry? That he's going to look at it and change their mind, which I knew they can't do. You know?
But no, they can't. They can't.
I'm still amazed. And they gave me big money.
That's great. They never
looked at the place.
That's fantastic.
And you can imagine if I bought them in 1979 and sold them in this year, you can imagine how much money
I made. When did you close on these properties?
I closed them exactly in October of 2023.
Okay, so did you do your tax returns yet for 23?
Oh, yeah. I called my accountant. He said, look, come in and let's get the capital gains done.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, it's like,
yeah, it's too bad you didn't talk to me. I could have helped you a little bit with that, but that's right.
Well, believe me, I don't want to get into a radio, anyway. But, well, guess what? You know what? I paid on capital gains because I know the tricks of the trade, which I don't want to stay on the radio because they might come arrest me. But I know there's a trick.
Well, that's not a trick. That's called fraud, but that's okay. I don't want you to tell me either.
That's why I'm not going to tell you. But anyway, I did pretty good on the properties.
That's good. Awesome. Great. Fantastic, man. So now you need to come to investor schooling to learn what to do with that money.
That's true.
So do you know how to get to investor schooling?
I actually do.
Are we going to see you Thursday night?
You might.
Actually, I'll tell you what. This Thursday night, we're going to be doing a class on exactly what happened to you, like for people to buy properties and sell them to somebody else, and to do it with sight unseen, exactly the way it happened to you.
Wow, I might have to tell my story.
You definitely.
And
I do have your book.
I do have your book. You know,
awesome.
So you know,
did you read it?
It's a great book. I definitely read it. More than once. Because I don't really understand too much, but I had to read it a couple of times, which you probably don't mean. You know, you don't care if I read it three or four times, right?
No, I like you to read it 20 times. I like you to read it to your family, read it to your friends, read it to the world, read it on Facebook.
It's a great book.
Thank you, man.
You know,
all right,
you
Bruce.
Guys are... We totally appreciate you calling.
Yeah, we appreciate you calling. And we thank you for being a fan, and we look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Okay, bye.
You got it. Take care, man. All right. So, we got 10 more minutes. Where were we?
I thought we have a special speaker coming in on Thursday.
We do. Talking about flipping land.
Flipping land.
Yeah. Flipping land sight unseen.
Oh, that's what you're talking about, sight unseen. Because I'm like, he was talking about that house that was sight unseen.
So let me tell you what happened. I don't know if you caught that. A wholesaler reached out to him.
No, I understand. Yeah, I understand that. But why don't you explain it anyway?
They never even looked at the property. They made him an offer. And that wholesaler immediately sold that contract to somebody else.
Right.
And made money on it without even looking at the property. I think that's brilliant. I think that's great. That's how wholesaling works.
We have many people that do
this guy, right. This guy, Ben, I mean, I don't know what he got for the property. I mean, who knows, he could have got more, but it really doesn't matter. He's very, very happy, obviously.
Yeah.
Especially if a property born in 1979 and didn't put any money into it. That, wow.
That's a long time.
But,
that's a long time to not do anything.
That kind of worries me a little bit. But so what? It's, you know, it's not my property. I'm not that landlord.
Yeah, exactly.
He obviously did very well. He made money. He didn't put any money into it. That's fantastic. I mean, I put money in my properties every year just because I want to.
We want to make them as the best we can to get the best rent we can. And to make it very easy between tenants.
And make it easy to sell in a fire sale.
I know.
Because I always talk about this, especially now with what's coming. If we have this recession that's coming, and something happens. I don't know what it could be, but something happens.
Yeah.
And I need to sell my properties quickly.
Yeah.
If they're in good shape, they're going to sell fast, even in a recession.
Yeah. I'm in the same position.
I may not get the top dollar for them, but I don't care. I'll be able to sell them.
Something happened in life. Somebody's sick. We need to get money right now. We want to get out with our from our properties immediately and get the best money we can.
Absolutely true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like to keep them in tip-top shape. Plus, I also find that when I rent them and they're in great shape and I rent them, the tenants...
Take care of them.
They do. They really do. Yes. They take care of it. They feel better about it. And for the most part, they take care of it. Every once in a while, you get one that's, you know... Hey, look, I made this property beautiful for you. Why does it look like this now?
Yeah, I know.
It just slops.
We see that.
You know.
We see those
things. So it happens. Yes. Yeah.
I actually have to, I'm doing that one eviction, so I have. That's why I'm going back to Monroe Monday.
Where?
In the similar area.
Yeah, Dublin.
Yes. Dublin?
No, Dublin. Where is it?
It doesn't matter. Anyway.
Okay. Luzerne.
It's in Luzerne County.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did go in there just to see what was going on in there. Like, I gave her notice that I wanted to go in and just check everything out, and it's a mess in there. So I'm going to have to redo the bathroom. Yeah, I got to redo the kitchen. There's a crack in the ceiling, and the floors are all messed up. So it's going to be repainted. The whole place is a mess. So, but I'm going to actually...
How far is it?
It's maybe 20 minutes from Monroe.
North.
Yeah, the whole place is north.
No, north from Monroe.
I have to go back and look. I'm not sure.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I have to. I was actually talking to the our contractor about it, so he's gonna take it because Monday I have to go in and change the locks because you know the constable's coming out Monday and changing the locks Monday, and then all her stuff is inside, so I have to see what happens with that. But the kitchen needs to be redone, the bathroom needs to be redone, some of the flooring needs to be redone. The whole there's. Stuff all over the walls. I mean, it looks like
it
somebody,
happens, right?
Yeah,
so
it's just a
people don't. People think it's that easy.
It is.
I mean, no. I'm not. When I'm saying people, I'm sorry. I meant tenants. Sometimes think that it's that easy. If I make a place nice, and the tenant move after a year, I'm not making any money.
Right. That's exactly.
I am not making any money
because you got to go in there and clean it again,
and I will have to make the place as nice as they got it.
Right.
For the next tenant.
Yep.
So for me to have a place for 1 year, for a tenant to have a place for 1 year, it's not worth it. And we discussed that for the people in Florida.
So this is interesting. What you're bringing up is something interesting. So this is why I like townhouses and condos.
Me too, yeah.
And why I like people with credit scores in the sixes.
Mm-hmm.
People with credit scores in the sevens, they're not staying.
They want
something
better.
They're going to find a house as soon as possible.
Yeah.
They're temporary tenants. But people with just credit scores in the low sixes, like 610, 620, 630, those people are going to stay. They're going to stay for years.
I know.
And I love it when they stay for years because 7 years, if they stay for 7 years, I don't care. To a point, I don't care what they give me the property back, what condition they give me the property back in because I know I got to redo stuff anyway.
Doesn't matter.
Right?
After 8 years, won't you do the carpet? You will do the carpet.
Yeah, I will do the carpet, right.
After 8 years? I will change the water heater if it works.
Water here. Unless it's bad, I'm not changing the water here. But you got the idea. The idea is, If 7 or 8 years of a tenant is fantastic, that's the best rate of return on your money.
Thing. So when you call the previous tenant, I'm sorry, when you call the previous landlord, and the landlord said they were great, they were here for 5 years, they were here for 8 years. Yeah. I have a tenant that moved in last year. They were at the previous, they were with their previous landlord, the same house, for the last 14 years.
Yeah.
I rent to them with a lease. To them with a lease.
By the way, I forgot to say hello to a couple other people online that are chiming in. We got Sal chiming in. We got Patty chiming in. We got Blake chiming in. And, of course, Gordon chiming in, too. So I want to make sure that you guys caught that. For some reason, it goes on two different screens, so I don't see you guys right away. But that's that. So we're going to be talking about land flipping on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to come and learn that, I'm telling you, this is a really cool thing. We have a specialist coming in to talk about it. What he does is he makes offers on land in different states. He's never even seen the land. Before he closes, he finds another buyer for it, and boom, he moves on, and he makes his money.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
One of one of our friends, she does that for a living, and she does incredibly well. She does so well, she's actually a coach for a company that does it. She's very well. Does
the,
very
the
well.
The problem with that, as we know, is that it's very hard sometimes to find comps for land.
It's very difficult to find comps.
Now they teach you. There's a whole methodology for. There's a methodology for learning how to find comps on land.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's a method for it. Yeah.
That's something I'm looking forward to learning myself. Then.
So if you're interested about that, which I am very interested about that, you need to go to investorschooling.com right now. Please go to investorschooling right now, and you will hit the RSVP button, and you will register yourself to this Thursday night class. It will be great.
And you'll get to meet us.
Yes, not
and
you.
You'll get to have Omri whisper in your ear, what?
855-939-1137.
Okay, that's
now,
just
now,
freaking.
Now you're just,
that's
now,
too much.
Now you're
yeah,
exaggerating.
That's too much.
You gotta do it with your regular voice.
That's a little too much, yeah.
You can't do it.
So tell them again how they come to Thursday night class.
Go to investorschooling.com, click the RSVP button. And you will be able to come to class, and you'll be able to learn a whole bunch of cool stuff.
And how much it will cost them?
It will cost them exactly how much I put down on a property every time I go see some, every time I go buy a property, which is
zero.
So we're going to teach you how to buy properties with no money for no money.
How? What?
That's confusing.
That's good because I have no money.
Glenn's chiming. I know we had to buy you. We had to buy you lunch the other day.
I know. I'm pathetic.
No, you're not pathetic.
You know, I'm kidding.
And you actually offered to pay the bill, but Debbie whispered over it, and she said, Glenn's pathetic.
No, I would never say that about
Glenn. Anyway, we only got about 35 seconds left. So I said I got to start saying goodbye to everybody.
Also to Maurice that is here with
and
us.
Maurice
in
is
the
here,
studio.
But I didn't get time to talk about that, but we're out of time, so I can't. So, of course, I want to say thank you to Glenn Page for doing such a great job producing the show. I want to thank all the callers and listeners and TV watchers and YouTube watchers and Facebook watchers for your support. And, of course, everybody else who woke up from their nap at 2 o'clock to listen to the show on WPHT, I appreciate you, too. And this Thursday night, you want to take a class, go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com, and we will see you on Thursday.
This program is paid for by Investors Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investors Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.